Okay, welcome to Tanya. Tanya Wide Open. We're in chapter six, and hopefully we'll finish chapter six today. Okay, so last week we introduced this idea, which is a really important idea, about how behavior is looked upon as a thing. Remember we spoke about that? Thought, speech, and action is just like that is a thing. It has a beginning and end and middle. Yeah, that's really what a thing is. Something that has a beginning and an end and a middle. So too, any kind of behavior. Behavior falls into three categories. Thought, speech, and action. Thought is also considered behavior. And as such, it's considered a thing. So you understand it as an action, yeah, like the act of putting on tefillin has a beginning, yeah, when you chalos a mitzvah, when you pull it tight, yeah, and it has an end when you take it off, or however you want to, however the Shulchan Aruch describes how that mitzvah, when that mitzvah is taking effect, and but it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Yeah, so too with any kind of speech, it's obvious. As you begin to speak, then you're speaking, and then you stop speaking, and then it's finished. That's also a thing. And with thought as well, even though it takes a lot of practice to get to the place where your mind is still, yeah, our mind is mishatefes. It's constantly rolling. Mishatefes as well is like an idea of like also streaming. We are able, thoughts do have a beginning and an end, okay? And we are able to control our thoughts, meaning we can, although people don't think so, yeah, you really are able to distract yourself and move your thinking from thinking about X to thinking about Y. That is in our ability. It really is. And you have to, that's a very important idea to keep that in mind, that you are in control of your thinking. And it's a voluntary, that is maybe one of the definitions of behavior, is something you do voluntarily, if that's the way we're saying it. Whereas emotions are not so voluntary. Emotions are not called behavior. And intellect as well is not called voluntary. Let's just to explain the difference between machshava and seichel, which is an important difference, is, did we do this exercise? If everybody, I mean, you don't even have to do it because you'll just understand as I say it. But if we were to all close our eyes right now and start going through our two times table, just say in your mind a bunch of different equations. 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 6 equals 12. 2 times 9 equals 18. Yeah, you could be basically recounting your two times table in your mind using your levush of machshava. Okay. So now we stop thinking about that, yeah? And I say to you, what, are you thinking about your two times table anymore? And you'll be no. I say, do you still know your two times table? And you'll be yeah. So what's the difference between knowing something and thinking about something? See, the two times table is part of your reality. The way you look at the world, you look at the world through the lens. Well, there's a lot of lenses that you look at the world through. One of the lenses that you see the world through is your two times table. With me, it's part of the fabric.
It's their eyes.
Yeah, you know when you see two candles in front of you, and then two candles.
Part of how you assess things. Part of how you see things.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how you see reality. So the two times table is part of
automatically. That's what you're saying. Like you don't have to make yourself be like, oh, that's two. So then
it's how you see it. Meaning that by definition, that's how you see it. It's part of you. It becomes a way of saying it becomes a fabric. It becomes a thread in the fabric of your human soul. That's the idea of intellect, knowing something. So when you get an idea clear, this is the whole meaning of this. That in Goyish world they call that paradigm. A paradigm is like a pair of glasses that you look at the world through. Yeah, so somebody has like somebody can have a paradigm of you can't trust anyone. So they look at a world and they see this world of no trust. When they see someone doing something nice, they think in their mind, well, that guy's, you know, he's just trying to do this, do that, whatever it is, doesn't trust him. That's a fabric. That's part of the... That's become woven in...
notions.
You could call it that. But that doesn't do quite as... that doesn't do justice to how real this is. It's become... It's merged.
It's like your language, like speaking. You don't think about what words you need to say. What means this? You just speak.
It's who... It's that. What your Nefesh Bahamas is.
Yeah. From your experiences, that's how everybody sees the world at a different.
Sure,
way.
That it could also be you could do it consciously. A really effective person.
Like if I got burned from this when I was younger, I'd say, "Oh, fire!" You know, like that's. Yeah. But somebody else, "Oh, fire! I feel warm. I see a light."
Okay, so I'll give you a good example of what you're saying. Yeah. So I have this lovely story. I actually talk about it in this book here. That it's not only does it show you how deep this goes, but how funny as well it is. So I was outside my shul, this was a few years ago now, and a kid threw a plastic cup, a Hadpami cup on the floor. Yeah. Not in the bin, just mamash on the floor, and I mamash let him have it. You know, like where I come from in London, trash is like, it's like Canada. You know, you can't, it's like, my dad used to joke about, you know, reintroducing capital punishment for people who throw trash.
Like
it's
Singapore.
A joke, but what?
Like Singapore.
Is it, yeah, something like that. So that's how it was while I was growing up. And the thought of throwing trash was just not, it was absolutely, just don't throw trash. So I see this kid throw trash. I let him have it. And I've got all the vortluch about you think you're paro, you think you own the world. And my friend was there who said to me, like, Shmuel, what's the big deal? I'm like, what are you talking about? What's the big deal? Anyway, so I went back to my office. I'm sitting there. And I sit on my couch and I start thinking, I start asking myself, what's the big deal? How bad is throwing trash? And, you know, immediately you're like, what are you talking about? It's the worst thing. And I sat there and I stopped and I decided I'm really going to think about this. And I'm saying to myself, listen, I don't condone throwing trash, but is it as bad as like Lashon Hara? Is it as bad as like Chilul Shabbos? Is it as bad as missing Zman Kriya Shema? I'm like, of course not. Like, so why do I think it's so bad? What's so bad about it? I start thinking my father, where I grow up, and I'm like, that's not, I'm not choosing to think this is so bad. This is choosing me. To do that, that process of breaking that paradigm, yeah?
Hard.
Was really scary. Really scary.
Shakes your foundation.
Mamash. A stupid little thing like that. Yeah. So imagine, I heard this story about this girl who made tshuva. Not tshuva, she was a ger. She made geira. She was an evangelical. She was like a kirov goy. Yeah, a kirov, you know, for Yoshki.
Oh? She was kirov for the goyim.
Yeah, for Yoshki, yeah. And I saw this interview, maybe from Aisha or something, yeah? She said that she sat there in a room for 7 days by herself, breaking her Yoshki connection. Think about what Yoshki is to these people. He's not just like the Rebbe. He's God. He's your best friend. He died for you. He's your father. He's your son. He's your brother. He's everything. Imagine that, having that kind of thing in your life, yeah? And having to dismantle that. I remember listening to this girl talk. She said she basically cried for like 7 days straight. I was like in awe of this person. That's moedic. It's absolutely moedic. To break a... See, it's like the way to understand that, I think this is helpful, is that we have two souls, yeah? We have the Nefesh Elokis and the Nefesh Bahamas. Yeah, you have the Neshama and then you have the Nefesh Bahamas. Let's just say. So they're basically, they look similar in the way they're composed. So the soul has a body. The soul has a body. It has a head and it has a goof. A ruchnias, doesn't have chomer to it, but it's a ruchnias body. A ruchnias, it has a head and it has a goof. It also has clothes. Yeah, the clothes of behavior. And it also has a rotzon. Yeah, it has like a soul. So the soul has a body, it has clothes, and it has a soul. The soul has a soul. It even has a soul of the soul of the soul. Yeah, but the soul, you can look at it like that, again, without actually any physicality, but it has a body, and it has clothes, and it has a soul. So what are we talking about? So the body of the soul is its intellect and its emotions. Seichel and Midas. That's its head, is its Seichel, and its Midas is its goof. Its behavior, thought, speech, and action is called its clothes. Okay? And its Rotson, that's called its Neshama, that's called its soul. Okay? So just like your physical body is made up of sinews and cells and organs, etc. So what's the chomer, so to speak, of the soul? The chomer of the soul is the ideas it knows. Yeah? We're talking about the animal soul right now, the human soul. Yeah? The ideas it knows create the actual, again, it's not physical, but create the head of the soul. And its emotions are the body of the soul. That's making it very, very, very simple. Okay? So ideas that you know, like the way you said, what did you say? You said it's like a, how did you say it before?
Preconceived notion.
A preconceived notion. It's so much more than that. It's the very chomer of the soul. The two times table in your animal soul is a chelik mamash of the soul, just like your skin or your bone is a chelik of your goof. So to say it's a preconceived notion, that's why breaking an idea that is wrong is just, it's like cutting something out of yourself on a spiritual level. It's incredibly difficult.
Like Gemara, something like to change one meter is like the hardest thing.
That's what I think of Yusuf Slanta said that, yeah. Yeah. That the idea of the courage you need to even begin the process, that's one of the things about Bala Tshuva, is it's easier for Bala Tshuva to assess things because they're coming from a foundation of they broke everything once. That was my thought of, you could say, B'makom sh'Bala Tshuva omdim tzadikim gomeniach lamed. Yeah? In the place that Bala Tshuva stands, the tzadikim gomorim can't stand. You've got another Mishnah that says, don't dun your chaver until you stand in his place. And the Mephoshim say, well, you never stand in his place, so don't judge him. Yeah, I'm not even picking up this, yeah? But now you've got a kesher, you've got a kasha. If we say the place that Bala Tshuva stands, Tzadikim Gemurim can't stand, very nice. But we have another chazal that says, no one can stand in anyone's place. So what did you teach me? So just like in a place of a Bala Tshuva, a tzaddik can't stand. In a place of a tzaddik, a Bala Tshuva can't stand. No one can stand in anyone's place. So what's the chiddush of the Bala Tshuva? So I wanted to say that the inyan of actual makom by him, the makom of a Bala Tshuva is different. What's the din of an aval in the base kinesis? The halach of an aval, if a person's in a velus for the 11 months, if he's, let's say, is one of his parents a nifter.
What? What do you mean, what's the din? So it's Kaddish.
Yeah.
Comes in after
the Tadoni. He has to be Mishane Makob. He can't be in his place. He has to move. You see, a guy who's an Aval, he always sat there, and then all of a sudden you're like over there, and then the next day he's over there. They have a dinner, that's the halacha. You have to be Mishane or Makob, yeah? It's a machlokas if on Shabbos or not, but definitely for sure the week, everyone has to be Mishane Makob. What's the inyan? And what's the inyan of why is an aval called an aval from Lashon aval, but? What's the kesher between an aval and the word but?
What's
but?
But.
What? Yeah, but. The word B-U-T. Not with two T's. B-U-T. But I wanted to go to the shops. What's the kesher? It's the same word, mamash. It has to be a very deep kesher. It's mamash the same inyan.
It's not doing what you intended.
So let's ask a question now. What's Shviras Alev? Because this is really what we're talking about, actually.
Broken heart, same thing.
Yeah, what is it like mechanically? What's the Lemaisa? What does it mean when a person has Shviras Alev?
You're disconnecting from a previous identity.
Yeah, Biduk. That I just dealt with this guy now, just recently, who was mamash kimat suicidal. Yeah, like he was just a few strands away from ending it. He's a very wealthy, successful businessman, and he made some stupid investments. He didn't even know why he made them, and he lost a huge amount of money. Yeah, and the guy basically crawled into a hole you know, in his multi-million dollar house, crawled into a hole and has just been sitting there for months now. Yeah. And Shreya Saleh, I mean, this guy, so I said to him, the first thing when I spoke to him, I said, is this going to actually impact your lifestyle? He lost like, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I said, is this going to actually impact you? You're going to have to like downsize and like move. He's like, no, no. But it's, you know, it's like, so, you know, you're going to be living in your mansion. It's not going to affect your lifestyle whatsoever. So what are you so broken about? I didn't need to ask the question. I didn't even ask him the question. I knew what he's broken about. What is he broken about? His whole identity was the fact that he can earn money. That's who he is. In his mind, he is a man who can earn money. Just like, you know, Mozart was probably, in his mind, a man who can make beautiful music. And Picasso, in his mind, was a man who can make beautiful pictures. Imagine after a while you find that, in fact, Picasso finds out somehow that he's actually really not a talented artist whatsoever. That would be called Shreya Saleh. When what you thought you were gets whipped away from under you. So it's not about the money that he was saying, I've lost so much money. But that wasn't about that at all. It was about the fact that his identity had been smashed. That's why a child, Rahman al-Atsan, a young child, the most, probably the most obvious example of Shreya Saleh would be a young child who loses a parent or parents get divorced. Young children, you know, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old whose parents get divorced, Lerlena, terrible, terrible thing.
That's what my parents
get
divorced.
What?
That's when my parents get divorced.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really big, that's a really difficult thing, because at that age, you're really bound up with your identity is absolutely bound up with your parents. And you don't really look at them as two separate things. I mean, every case is different, obviously. But then that, or you look up part of a big part of parenting is to try and create a culture in the house, and even like a club feel, like an exclusive, not in a bad way, but an exclusive club feel. Not that anybody else is less, but what a schus I have to be a part of Mishpacha Diamond. That's something very helpful to try and imbue the children. So when we go on holiday, you know, we print t-shirts, we have a little flag for the car, we do all kinds of sticky things. You know, now with AI, you can make songs. No, it's very important. It's really important to create that identity for the children. But without even doing that, I'm trying to like catalyze it. But without doing that, every house creates its own identity. The children have an identity. And if the house breaks, that's called Shreya Saleh. And that's one of the hardest things that a person can go through. Maybe the hardest thing a person can go through. Maybe the hardest thing a person can go through. So what's the inyan of aval and an aval? An aval is, there's only 5 kroivim, parents, siblings, children, spouse, four kroivim, siblings. There's four kroivim. Yeah, there's 4 people that you're misabel over. Yeah? Parents, children, siblings, spouse. Yeah, not grandparents, not grandchildren, those 4. Otherwise, there's no dinner for velas. Or your rav as well. That's also important. You can have a dinner for velas over your rebbe if you're Talmud move up. Yeah, same as a parent. Absolutely. I thought that's fine. So what's the inyan? One of these people... Think about, again, don't plug it into your own matzav, because everyone's got their problem with their sister and they've got a problem with their father, or whatever. But just the inyan, yeah? Is those 5 people you identified with more than anybody else in the world? Your parents, your children, your siblings, your spouse, and your rebbe. You identified with
them. I thought
that's
who I was, but I'm something.
That's Shreya Saleh. When one of those people die, you... went through a reset. That's aval. I was going to go to the shop, but I decided I'm not going to go to the shop. It's exactly what the word but does. It resets what you were saying. That's the function of the word but. You know, I was going to give you $100, but I was going to take you to the theme park, but it says what you were. That's the whole inyan of an aval. So that's why an aval now floats around the base medrash. Because his place has been changed. He doesn't have a place. And that's the inyan of a Baal Tshuva. So it's not that, oh, you're right, everyone has a different place and no one can stand in anyone's place. But what's the difference for Baal Tshuva? It's the place of a Baal Tshuva is different. because he's gone through the process of Shvir Salev, of dismantling who he was. So now he's actually available now. He's more available. You hear the point? He can break down his personality. And don't get me wrong, about Shiva can also get stuck into, you know, he can also fall into the ego and fall into his identities. But Derech Klal, about Shiva, is more open to hearing, oh, I got it wrong. Oh, wow, it's not like that. Really? Yiddishkeit is something different, or Hashem's different to what I thought he was. Whereas a guy who's been, you know, been in the system for all these years, for him to be able to even approach the idea of that maybe things were a little different, maybe the Torah is not exactly what you thought it was, you know, maybe your six-year-old, maybe the six-year-old child that you were, that all your hashkafas are based off, maybe it was a little, you know, maybe it wasn't as sophisticated as the system could be, maybe, you know, don't know why I'd say such a thing, you know what I'm saying? But to even entertain those thoughts, you need that freedom that the Baal Tshuva should have. He should have had that place where he could, you understand? That's a very important. That's a very important. So that's the.
Is the Avo bouncing around looking for a new spot, or is he just fully appreciating that just what I thought I had? I don't.
It could be very. It could be any. It could be very bad. The place of Shir Salev is the most unsettling place you can be in. What you've got two options with Shir Salev. You're the five Madrigas of the heart. You listen to that Shir that I gave. The five Madrigas of the heart. It's called Timtum Alev, Shvir Salev, Merir Salev, Psich Salev, and Tuvle Vav. So maybe we'll talk about that. It's a very, very important idea. That Shvir Salev is here. It's after Timtum Alev and it's before Merir Salev. So you really have to know what Timtum Alev is. And it's exactly what we're talking about. What Timtum is Mutum Tam. And they describe it in the Sfarim as an Evan, a Lev Ke Evan, like a rock. Matum tam, yeah. A timtum alev means a blocked heart.
There's a timtum and androness. The timtum is there, sealed up.
It's covered
over.
See what? Exactly the point. That's a tumtum, androgynous and tumtum. Yeah, it's covered over. So this is the idea: is the evener. It's not so much that the arteries of the heart are clogged up. It's that the external element of the heart has ossified.
The ruach.
No, not. I'm talking like physically. Just have it pictured in your mind, but it's actually become hard. It's become a there's a shell around the heart. What's that? That's all the things of this world that we're identified with. So trash for me as a kid. Yeah, by the time I dismantled that probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Yeah, I don't know. What?
Now
I'm chofshi. We don't even have trash cans in the house. We just, you know, just blow it all out with a broom out the door. And I'm mamish. And we got the drainage thing for the sponger. We dafka did it into the neighbor's mepesa. So that hakpada on litter that you should have. I'm not condoning litter. I don't accept trash in any way. My kids don't throw trash, I don't throw trash. If I see trash I pick it up. I just mentioned my uncle Freddy Zatzal. He's a lovely, wise, secular man. And I was telling him this thing about the trash. He was nifter a few years ago. I was 80. He was a very wise man. And I told him the story about the trash, how hard it was. He looked at me and said, you know what? I used to think like that. You know, when I would see someone throw trash, I would get really angry. He said, you know what I do now? Just go over and pick it up. I love that. That was an old wise man. Just saying, it doesn't get me angry. Why? Just go and pick it up. Anyway.
Reminded me of a commercial back in the day. Used to, in New York, back in the 70s, used to throw trash on the floor. Everybody's throwing trash, at least to show a whole garbage can, and this is what you're doing. When each person throws one piece of garbage, they say, that's not a big deal, like one cup.
Yeah.
Imagine if everybody threw it.
Yeah.
They're just like dumping a whole garbage can.
Oh, that was before people cared about trash.
Right.
Yeah. So, like in India.
Indian used to cry, I remember the big Indian used to cry about it.
Who?
An Indian, because they used to own them in Manhattan before. Indian, they used to have an Indian cry. They used to cry because
it's the video. The funny thing is, in India, there is no Indian of putting trash in a bin. In the floor. They sweep that, but that's how it is. That's the society.
Yeah.
You put it on the floor, and a sweep. You know, within an hour or two, some guy sweeps it to the side. Anyway, but the what conceptually, my identification with throwing trash or not throwing trash, what that actually on a spiritual level looked like was a layer, a coarse, hard layer around my heart. That's the Inyan of Timtum Alev. Timtum Alev is a manifestation of Krum identifications.
Krum?
Krum, of Treif identifications. The more things we're identified with in this world, the more blocked our heart becomes. And so it's
is
not.
Is there a kosher identification?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you.
The kosher identification is called MS. You can identify with MS.
Okay, but aside from that, it's Treif.
Well, yeah, again, yeah. See, so there's Madregas
so
identification.
Your Krovim are also not MS?
You what?
Krovim.
No, so again, identification means you have a tzivui to identify with your wife and to identify with your children. But who was the first Jew?
Avraham.
And his nisayon was being makriv, being makriv. But that's a dangerous thing to say. But the whole Inyan of the Yid, the Am Yisrael got born when Avraham picked up the knife to shecht Yitzhak. Because Avraham was saying to Rabbeinu Shalom, I can give you any one of my identifications that you want. My ultimate identification, I can give to you. So we have a chiyuv to be identified with our children. So if your child, what do you answer? Your child turns around to you and says to you, Abba, who do you love more, me or Hashem? You had that question?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Usually it's who loves, like, does she love me more? Do I love her more? That's the competition.
That's fine. That's nice to have that argument. But what do you say to your child who says, who do you love more? Abba, who do you love more, me or Hashem? Yeah, that's a really difficult, I've been put in that spot. So I suppose the answer now would be, I love you more, but you have to understand. I don't even know what I'd say, actually. I don't know how to put that to a child right now. But the point is that you have a tzivui to love your children as an end unto themselves. Your relationship with your children is not to enhance your relationship with God.
But your relationship with God will enhance your relationship with your children. Meaning if I love Hashem more, it's going to make me love you more.
I think
I'm just loving you more than I love Hashem.
I think it's more
the love for you is a little bit.
But a kid won't understand that.
I think it's more the other way around.
Well, that's a different.
I
question.
Think when you talk about your love for God like that, it's more like your invisible friend God. The way I understand it, and this is really what this is all about. Yeah, I'll give it to you on one foot. Bezrat Hashem. The first principle is called live life. Live life basically means that Stephen Covey calls it be proactive. Proactive, not as in like a go-getter, but proactive as opposed to reactive. Okay? An animal is reactive. Yeah? You know that if you poke an animal, it will do this. Yeah? There's no, you know, there's no surprises. The animal's not going to go, let me work out what I should do now. Yeah? An animal's reactive. So the first madrego of being human is to become proactive, which we call live life, as opposed to stop being lived by life, start living life. Yeah? As in, you call the shots. Your wife says X to you. Yeah? Don't just stop. Work out what's the correct response to do. That's called being human. Yeah? It's quite rare. It's quite rare. But that's called being human. So really what that is me becoming real to myself. Kol zman, you're being reactive. You don't actually exist. You're just like another, you're just like a graphic. Yeah, you're just a graphic in the game. Like we said, like one of the mushrooms in Mario or Bowser in Mario. You stop being Mario or Luigi. You're just an NLP.
NPC,
a non-player character. You become a non-player character. Yeah, you're just a graphic in the game. So the first step is, I'm real. And don't take that for granted. That's a madrega. I'm real. And therefore, I have to start playing the game. That's the first stage. That's called Ben Adam La Atzmai. Now, once you started treating yourself as something that's real, which again, don't like go, oh yeah, yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, it's not so push it. But once you've started treating yourself as something that's real, now you're in a really good position to start to appreciate that other people are also real. And again, people are like, what do you mean? Yeah, that's the fifth, the first four are Bein Adam L'Atzmoy. And then the next four are Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So the first one, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is called Recognize the Other. And the whole point of that is to appreciate that you're not just a player in my game. You don't exist in context of me. And that's a high, again, this is a really high Madrega. To not look at the world as just graphics in my game or actors in my movie, that's a Madrega. To appreciate that you're a real independent, in fact, even more than that, I'm an actor in your movie. That's a Madrega. That's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Yeah? Once you've done that, now you're perhaps ready to have a relationship with the Bein Adam. Because if I'm looking at all the people in the, and this is the default matzav of human beings, if I'm looking at all the, not just the people, not just the things in the world, but all the people in the world as just in context of me, and I can see them and hear them and they're complaining to me that their life isn't amazing, and I still think they're a part of my life, well, how on earth can I relate to God in the correct way? Because God just becomes your invisible friend, your pocket God, call me. He's just your invisible friend that you pull him out when you need him. Because I'm God, and that's what it means that you're a part of my story. That means I'm God, and you are, I'm reality. That's Hashem Echad. That's why, and Yana the Yoma soon, that's why Haman couldn't stand the fact that there was one Jew. He had like the whole of the world basically bowing to him. You'd like, Haman, relax. It's one little old man with a beard. Who cares? You know, it's like a trillionaire losing a dollar and fretting over it. What's the big deal? The point was that he wasn't interested in he was interested in the oneness of the klipa. It says that you ever danced in a circle, you know, after davening, yeah, you dance in a big circle, and then one guy drops out, and the other two guys don't hold hands again. You feel like it's annoying. Hold his hand. I want to be in a circle. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's why, because that circle is a oneness. So when you're missing that piece, it's not that you care about that piece. You're missing shleimus. So Haman was upset that he was missing Shleimus a Shlita. That's called being Mamash Elohim Achelim. That's called being an Elokus or Elohus. You with me? But that's really how we look at the world. That takes a lot of, that's the avoider of a Yiddishkeit, is to extract ourselves from that kind of outlook on reality. That's not a quick thing at all. So Kol Zman, you haven't been extracted from that way of looking at the world, then everything that you experience is, well, how can it help me? And if it doesn't help me, then I'll be either ambivalent to it if it doesn't make a difference to me, or if it's mazik me, I'll destroy it or push it away from me. But it's all about me. How do you fit into my reality? You with me?
In Judaism,
the avoda is to get out of that, for sure. That's the point. So the avoda is,
is God a prop in my life, or am I a prop in God's?
That's
life?
The point. Does He exist in my reality, or do I exist in His reality? Now, if you exist in my reality, and I'm sitting there hearing you complaining about how your life is this and that, and you know, blah 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 blah. And you exist as a prat in my reality, and all I'm thinking about is either when are you going to shut up so I can talk, or, you know, how can I help you so I can be the hero, or whatever kind of, it can get very subtle as well, yeah? How can I appreciate God, the silent, invisible creator, as me being a detail in his reality, if a a human physical complaining, whining, talking person is not a real thing in my world. It's a kal vachomer. If I can't appreciate that other people are independent...
I don't know, because with Hashem, it's like he's making you. That Yenim's not making me. He's not bringing me into existence every single moment. I can't believe that. But God is making me every single moment. So even if I have trouble seeing people because we're just in the same boat, I could still relate to Hashem as he's creating me. I have no existence outside of him. That's the emes. I have existence outside of this person. I mean, it's just how it is. You know, I existed before I met them. But Hashem, it's ludicrous for me to think that I have my own life aside from him. That's just ridiculous to think.
You're right. Absolutely. But that doesn't stop you from thinking like, because that's our default position. Our default position is sweeps us with children.
I can go straight to him, if I haven't worked it out with a person.
Not that you see yourself as existing in his as a prut in his show. That's already a big madrega. But just that you appreciate that he is not a part of your reality. That's what I'm trying to say. The other person. Another person. If you can't appreciate that another person is not... It doesn't mean that you have to be giving him... You know, you don't have to give him the keys to your car. But if you can't appreciate that he's an independent existence, then anything that you're thinking about God is not... It's not... That's not real. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, because if you're living part of God's existence, of his reality, and that person's also part of God's reality, so you're denying... that part of God's reality because you're not subscribing to it fully.
That's a more sophisticated way of saying it. I was just thinking a more pashut way means that it's all very well saying that I belong to God, yeah? But it's like, you know, it's like the guys who hang around with the sports stars and the what they call the pop stars, the...
Groupies.
The groupies.
Groupies.
Yeah? So, you know, you say to this guy, well, who's bigger, you or whatever his name is, yeah? I said, what are you talking about? Of course.
Of course what?
This guy, Bob Dylan, I hang with, Mick Jagger, yeah? Whoever I'm hanging out with, he's obviously much bigger than me. Of course. But I'm using him to solidify myself. That's the default relationship that we have with God. That's the default relationship that human beings have with God is he's there to serve me. They won't say that, but that's really how it is. Look, I need... Panasa, and I need health, and I need...
Well, that's not really thinking that I'm a prop in his life.
That's the point.
They don't want to admit that because that makes them a total loser. That I'm, my whole life is because I'm hanging out with this famous guy.
No, but what they're doing, what I'm trying to say is, even if you can say that God is your maker, if you haven't worked very hard and gone through a lot of process, a lot of learning, to understand that that means that you exist in context of him... Even if he's your maker, you still turn that into, well, I've got this powerful force behind me that can help. It always goes back to self. Okay. So the progression of reality is, Bein Adam LaAtzmo, you have to first show up. You have to take responsibility for yourself. Yeah. Without that, there's nothing. Now, once you realize that you're a real person, which is what that is, yeah, you're appreciating that you're a real person, now you're in a position to start appreciating the reality of other people. And then Hashem throws you a bone. What's the bone called? Hashem throws you a lot of bones.
Mitzvot.
Huh? Well, the first bone that Hashem throws you to help you to appreciate that other people exist is marriage. Yeah? Get married. Now there's a good chance that you could... start to come to appreciate that somebody else is a Metzias, and then after that he'll start throwing you B'zat Hashem children, yeah, and then that also pushes, like, when was the last time you walked in your house and your kids were like, you know, hi Abba, how are you, as opposed to Abba, look at this, look at, you know, you're forced into that position of, well, I'm here for you. It's kind of,
you have to love yourself first.
I didn't say you have to love yourself. You could say it like that. I'm a little weary of that.
Yeah,
word.
I'm not saying exactly.
I'd say two things. You have to. What we were saying before. You have to trust yourself and respect yourself. Mm-hmm. Meaning that you have to take responsibility for yourself. A reactive person doesn't take responsibility for himself. You could imagine a person turning around and saying, "I got so angry I couldn't control myself." What are you talking about? Chas v'shalom. How could you have lost control? Then who was in control? If you lost control, who was in control? Well, obviously, then you're not a real
You're not, when you get mad, that's what it says. All the Yetzirahs get into you, you have no control.
So then you've been given up yourself to avoid a Zara. That's what the Gemara says over there. You've avoided a Zara. What is avoided a Zara? Avoided a Zara is nothing. It's nothing. It means you don't exist. What?
It's
unhappiness. No, but really what avoided a Zara is there is no such thing as Elohim Achayrim. There's God, there's Hashem Echad.
Right.
That's all there is. So you make up these things, they're just nothing. They're just figments of your imagination. There's something other than Hashem. So when a person gets angry, he becomes nothing. He just becomes part of the graphics, which is really nothing, because really all it is what's Hashem. So he's just become nothing. So before you take responsibility for yourself, for your own actions, you don't exist. Once you've now started to take, and hopefully every Jew is aware of this, and because it's not like life isn't hefka like outside of Yiddishkeit, yeah, in a lot of cases. So there should be an element of a strong element of shlita over your behavior, yeah. That's the default position of a Jew. So hopefully Jews are already there's madregas and madregas of this, but
the whole Judaism is that.
Yeah, exactly. But there is still the ability to be like maneuverable, but we're still cognizant, whatever. You have to apply it in the way you apply it. But the first stage is you have to be real to yourself. I'm a matzia, so I have to take responsibility for myself. It's not okay for me to say that to my wife, even though she did this and did that. And I'm like, I'm going crazy, yeah? That's not, what's the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do? Like I heard,
go to the gym and pick the bag up.
Yeah, if you need to get it out, get it out. You know, go, shout to someone else. Or whatever it is, yeah? Sometimes you need to exercise these things. I tell you, I've said this many times, is that when your kids, your kids can drive you nuts, yeah? Yes. They can do things that make you want to, like, you know, and I found in my little experience is that, you know, saying that you hate your child sounds bad, but if my kid does something crazy and I'm like in a really bad place, I'll never say it in front of my child, but to my wife in the bedroom right now, I'll say, I hate him. Now she doesn't anymore because I've said it so many times. The first time I said that, she was like, oh God. As soon as I said that, I said, I hate him, like that. And I feel so much better. I walked outside and I started talking to him like a mensch again. That was what it took. It wasn't, I hate him. Of course you don't hate your son, yeah? But you do feel like you hate him. And by saying that, and if I hadn't have said that, that would have lingered on for days and days. That's what levushim are. That's what behavior is. It's about expression. You express yourself through the clothes you wear.
You have to get out that feeling, that klipa, as you're saying, to continue to be.
It has to be expressed, an emotion
held in, and then it becomes
and it will come out anyway. It will come out somehow. It'll either seep out for weeks, or it will explode in another way. Yeah, but emotions have to be expressed through levushim. That's why behavior is called levushim. One of the main reasons is, how do you know that I'm a Haredi Jew, and how do you know that that guy is a beach bum, and how do you know that guy is a high level CEO? Because of what they're wearing. Meaning that you express yourself through your clothes. That's how you see who a person is. You wear whatever you're wearing, that shows who the person is in a sense. It's like the what's in a ketchup bottle, because it has written on the bottle, it's ketchup as opposed to mayonnaise. So that's the expression of who you are. So what are you? Remember what we said? The body, we're talking just about the animal soul right now, yeah? The body of the animal soul is emotions and intellect. That's what the body is. So emotions is, my kid just did this and I'm going crazy. So the body of my soul is like that. How do I express that? Through thought, speech, or action. But thought isn't very helpful, because thought doesn't go out. Thought's like your, it's actually interesting, because thought is like your undershirt. Yeah, you've got three madregas of levushim, yeah? You've got your undershirt, which is thought. You've got your speech, which is your shirt. And you've got your action, which is your khalifa, yeah? Concentric layers. So how much do you express yourself with your undershirt?
TSA.
Everyone has the same undershirt. Yeah? I'm sure, you know, Elon Musk wears the same undershirt as I wear. He's the, you know, and whoever it is, you wear a white undershirt. Yeah, there's a little bit maybe as, you know, I'm the this or that on it, whatever it is, yeah? That's usually out. You understand? So thought...
It is bulletproof.
So thought is really not much of an expression. In fact, usually it's thinking about something actually falls back into the system, creates more emotions. But speaking is for sure a way of getting stuff out, and acting is maybe an even more profound level. So we're going back all the way now. That's the intellect. That's called Chokhmah Bina Das, is the Seichel. And then Ava Yira Rachamim or Chesed V'Tfes Netzchayim Yisod Malchus, that's the Guf, however you want to describe it. Yeah, but the seven
meters. What I learned is like Chokhmah is, like you said, your ideas. Then Bina is expressing it.
No. But the thing is, it's holographic. The relationship that we've just been discussing is the male-female relationship, which in this case is the body of the soul and the clothing of the soul. Yeah, which one expresses which? You've got the body of the soul and the clothing of the soul, yeah? Obviously the clothing is expressing the body. So in that context, that's the male-female relationship. The female is always the expression of the male. So when you're talking about the body of the soul and the clothing of the soul, the clothing is female and the body is male. Yeah? But when you're talking, it's holographic. So when you're talking within the body and you're talking about the head and the heart, the emotions are an expression of the intellect. Meaning what you know, you have feelings towards. If you don't know about something, if you never heard about something, then what are your emotions about it? You don't know about it. Once you start to know about it, and the more you know about it, the more your emotions. So your emotions are expressing your intellect. So on that level, you're now, the emotions are female and the intellect is male. But now get even more granular. What about in the intellect itself? So what expresses what? When you've got, what's the relationship? Chokhmah and Bina.
If you know God more, you're daven better.
Just to stay with the line. That Bina expresses Chokhmah. Yeah? Chokhmah is the flash of the idea in germ form, and Bina gives it length and breadth and depth. So what's expressing what? Bina is expressing Chokhmah. So on that level, Bina is female and Chokhmah is male. And then in Madrid, and it gets more and more granular. Within Bina, you've got, you know, Yisur Saba and Tfuno, and you've got all Madrigas laying on top, and it gets more and more. And within every level, there's always this idea of Etzem and Abat and of expression. That's called Shem and Etzem. That's name and essence. On the biggest, what's the biggest expression of that male, female? Shem and Etzem, yeah, name and essence.
Kli and Or.
What?
Or and Kli.
Same thing. All the same thing. Whenever you talk about two, it's always the same. It's always the same Indian. What's the biggest, if we spoke about the most granular expression being like within Bina, whatever it is, what's the ultimate expression of Shem and essence? Yeah, that's what you said. B'yomu, yeah. Hashem echad u'shmo echad. He and his name will be one. Meaning he, who he is, his essence, and his name, which is creation, the expression of his essence, will be one. Meaning that the expression will be accurate. The expression of who he is, your name being one with you, means that you are expressing yourself in accordance with who you are. Imagine that. That's an amazing thought. That how you express yourself is really who you are. That's really amazing. And that's what the whole point of the game is. So going all the way back now to Shvir Salev. Shvir Salev means the breaking of part of the Etzem. So Timtum Alev is when I've become identified with X, Y, and Z. Yeah? And that's like become like, man, my heart has become hard. Yeah? You could crack it with a hammer or something, yeah? Shrir Salev is smashing the heart. So that ossification, that shell now that my heart has been contained in, has been smashed. Now what? Where am I? Who am I? That's the question. A person in Shrir Salev will be asked, they might not know it consciously, but they're asking themselves the question, who am I? Where am I? What am I? That's the question. I said this to this guy that I spoke to, this guy, this wealthy guy who lost all his money, whatever, bad deal. And I said to him, are you asking yourself this question? He's like, 100%. Because he's not who he was. He always was this hotshot businessman.
He doesn't have deals
go
bad.
As well?
He doesn't make bad deals.
Yeah, exactly. That's who he is. And I made a bad deal. So who am I? I don't know. Well, I can't say that I'm a guy who makes bad deals because I've been making good deals for the past 30 years. But I can't say I'm the guy who makes good deals because I just made some bad deals. So who am I? What am I? Where am I? That's really scary. That's a really vulnerable place to be. That's where you should end up on Yom Kippur, by the way. That's the avoider of Yom Kippur. Shrir Salev. So what do you do after Yom Kippur?
Start fresh.
You go into the sukkah. You go into the sukkah and you've come out of Shrir Salev. And you're like, now, okay, sukkah. That means I'm redefining myself as somebody who does everything for the Rabbi Shalom. I'm eating for you. I'm sleeping for you. I'm schmoozing with my friends for you.
Right away, if you build a sukkah, Motzei Yom Kippur, right? I'm a person who does mitzvahs.
Bidyuk. That's it. So that's it. You're redefining yourself as a tzaddik. That's good. That's it. So once you the first process of redefining yourself has to be the Shrir Salev. So Merir Salev is you're in a precarious position. Once you've gone into Shrir Salev, yeah, which can by the way be induced by yourself, like I did when I had that litter thing, or more often than not is induced by your children, by the economy, by your wife, by stuff that you do, you know, you don't need to go out searching for stuff to break yourself nowadays. There's enough stuff to, you know. I felt I had a big. Well, that'll take us away. Anyway, so.
Averus.
Everything that comes to you, if you define yourself as a tzaddik, if you define yourself as somebody who's somewhat kadosh, bless you, and then you go and do something mamash garua, that's Shrir Salev, vadai. I thought I was something. How could I have gone and done that? How could I have gone and looked at that? How could, etc. Yeah? That's Shrir Salev. So now, when the person's in that vulnerable place of Shrir Salev, now you've got one of two options. Either you go back to Timtum Alev and you find something else to identify with, which is probably more common than not, or you progress to what's called Merir Salev. Merir Salev is like the bitterness from Lashon Nah, where now you need energy, yeah, to recommit, you need energy. Merir Salev could be, I always describe it as like clenching your fist, and you say, enough, finished.
That's an oxymoron statement, though.
That's more what?
Oxymoron's like opposite, that you're really taking it to the next level. You're saying, no more, because I'm bitter. But you're going to the next level to be better. Like you're saying, this is enough. I'm done with
that. So that's Merir Salev, and then that leads you to Psicha Salev. That's the point. Exactly. It's a halfway house to get. You don't want to be in Merir Salev.
Right. You want to be in the Merir
Salev. Zosius Ram.
Yeah, very good. Squish. It takes you up to Psich Salev. Yeah. If you get to Merir Salev, by definition, you go into Psich Salev. Psich Salev is, as we said, it's free flowing expression. It's free flowing expression where I'm not I can have identifications in this world. Like I'm identified as a Haredi Jew. Yeah, you see me on an outward level. I look like a Haredi Jew. Yeah, and I act like a Haredi Jew, and I identify as a Haredi Jew. That's not who I am. You with me? I hope to be an Oved Hashem. I hope to be a tzaddik. That's what I want to define myself as, if I'm going to define myself as anything, yeah? So Psicha Salev means that you can have identifications, but you don't take them too seriously. It's like, you know, the difference between my dad, how he relates to Manchester United, and how my nephews relate to whatever football team they relate to.
To?
The football teams. Oh. My dad's a Manchester United supporter, yeah? Like, but, you know, at the end of the day, when they lose, you know, it doesn't ruin his week, yeah? Whereas little kids, when their team loses, they can destroy them, yeah? So so you can be identified with things in this world, and you can enjoy the things in this world, and you should do. And you need to be identified with stuff. You have to. I mean, you have to put on a couple. So you've got only a few choices. What kind of you can wear, hat, whatever. But you only got a few choices, so you have to identify with something. But the key is that doesn't become who you are. Like this guy, who he was a deal maker, yeah? And so I said to him, what's the difference between you and the guys in the 30s? In the Great Depression, were throwing themselves off the buildings in New York. People in the 20s, in the Great Depression, yeah? They were throwing themselves off the buildings. Like, the whole time, why? Why? And I said to him, why is it that you haven't thrown yourself off a building and they did?
That's dangerous.
Yeah, so I said, but he appreciated this. I said to him, because they were 100% identified. You're not, you're about 80% identified. So the fact that you're still in the game is because there's 20% of you, you've got a wife, you've got a lovely life. The guy's got a mum, a beautiful life. He's a Fulham Jew. A Fulham guy with a nice family. He's got a lovely relationship with his wife. Mm-hmm. But he's so caught up in his identity as a guy who busts big, you know, deals, but not 100%. If a guy's 100%, that was the story. Remember that story of Death of a Salesman? Like Arthur Miller, remember that?
Arthur Miller.
Really.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's a lovely story. I mean, it's a very depressing story. But that was the guy. He was 100% identified. And that's not a chiddush, by the way. It's not a chiddush. A lot of people are 100% identified with a lot of stuff, you know? So this idea of... We're going back all the way back to what you said about... What did you say again? What was it you said?
Preconceived notions.
Yeah, preconceived notion is so much more than that. It's who you are. It's a fibre of the way you see. So this guy who's this deal maker, yeah, that's called his paradigm. So when he's out there, he meets someone, what's he thinking? Yeah, well, how can we do, this is all he is.
But unless you're identified with MS, what have you got?
Exactly, this is the point. This is why we need to, it's the only thing that we're actually really allowed to become genuinely identified with on a nefesh. That's the highest level of the nefesh b'chamis for a yid, to become identified with MS. So you say, why are you serving, if you turn around to someone and say, why are you serving God? Yeah? There's two responses. There's the highest human response, and then there's the actual Jewish response. You say, why are you serving God, yeah? The Jew in you turns around and says, stupid question. Why am I serving God?
I'm Jewish.
I serve God. What do you want from me? That's who I am. It's like asking the sun, why do you shine? It's like, what are you talking about? I'm the sun, I shine. So you're Jew, the Jew in you, the neshama, which is a manifestation of God. Like, why are you serving God? It's like, what are you talking about? The question doesn't make sense. The answer's kacha. Just kacha. That's literally the kacha is kaf, which is kesa. Yeah, it's the kesa kesarim. It's the soul of the soul. That's just who I am. I serve God. That's the Jew. When you turn around and say, why are you serving God? They said that it's MS. That's where we want to get.
I found the truth.
No, but this is a madrega. This is the ultimate human madrega. You're meant to say that. Meaning, the fact that you serve God because kacha, yeah, because you're Jewish, what did you do to do that? That's not your avoider, that's just who you are. That's how Hashem made you. It's like giving the sun a pat on the back for shining. Well done. Yeah, that's who you are. You serve God, that's your Jewish part of you. The avoider actually is to become identified with truth. So you're like, why are you serving God? In Yana Diyoma, we've got the Parsha, what's the whole Enyan of... What is it Antigonus Yisoichu says? Antigonus Yisoichu says. Yeah, what's the Lashon of the Mishnah? The Lashon of the Mishnah is, Al Tia Ke'avadim Amat Hashem Shemes. Antigonus Yisoichu, Kibel Meshimon HaTzadik, Huwaya Oimeh. Al Tia Ke'avadim Amat Hashem Shemes HaRav, Al Manas the Kabul Pras. Don't be like the Avadim that serve the Rav, Al Manas the Kabul Pras. Ele Hevei Ke'avadim Amat Hashem Shemes HaRav, Shaloi Al Manas the Kabul Pras. Serve him like the ones who are not then you're not serving him to be Makabel Pras.
Lishma.
So what are you serving him for?
Lishma. To get closer to him.
So, well, that's not really Lishma.
Well, that's a pras.
That's a pras.
What's that?
That's a pras. To get closer to Hashem is already a pras. The neshama's not serving Hashem to get closer to Hashem. The neshama's a servant. You can say it like that. It's not wrong to say it like that. But to really understand it, like I'll be the real mechanics of it, the neshama is just serving Hashem because it is Hashem. It's just part of Hashem. And Hashem wants the mitzvahs done, so the neshama wants the mitzvahs done.
But not everybody does it.
You do, but you've got this human element around that. So what's the highest level of the human element? You could be serving God so that you go to Gan Eden and that you don't go to Gehenna. Okay? Now, why are you serving God? Aliba de MS, your neshama serving God for the same reason as Moshe Rabbeinu. Your servant, whatever, that could you go a little bit because different levels of neshamas. But your neshama, the Jewish part of you, is if you were to strip away all of your human part and get through the Sa'an and Oynesh, you're still, the soul is ecstatic that it's serving Hashem. It feels a bit dirty because the external part of him is caught up in all selfish motives. Yeah, so he feels a bit like, it's a little bit not na'im, but it's definitely better than doing veiras, you know, infinitely better than doing veiras, the fact that you're serving Sa'an Oynesh. But what's but that's still a svara. What's the highest level of the goof? The highest level of the goof is MS. The neshama doesn't serve Hashem because it's MS. The neshama serves Hashem because it's Hashem. The goof can serve Hashem because it's MS. What does that mean?
Cheshbon.
The cheshbon is, he made me. I belong to him. I'm his. I'm his possession. That's not the neshama saying that, because the neshama is not the possession of Hashem. The neshama is Hashem. It's a netzo, it's not even a nivra, it's not even created, it's an emanation of Hashem. So it can't say, I belong to Hashem. It's like the rays of the light, the rays of the sun, saying, I belong to the sun. You don't belong to the sun, you're of the sun. You know, if I put a break between the sun and you, you stop existing. You don't belong. It's not like my car or my phone is in my pocket. Your humanity is. And that's the inner of the Eved Nietzsche that we speak about in the Parsha. Is he views himself as a possession of the Adon. So he's not there for reward. He's not there for. He doesn't want money. He just wants to be
part of the family.
He's just that's it.
He wants a hole in his ear.
But the hole in the ear is the Inyan Abina, because that's from Svara.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's from Svara. It's an intelligent decision. The decision that I belong to God, and therefore, what right do I have to do anything against his will? That's a cheshbon. But it's different to all the other cheshbonos in one prat.
What are you saying is different?
All the other cheshbonos before the cheshbon of MS is different. All the other cheshbonos, except for the cheshbon of MS, is different in one way. And it's an infinite difference. And that's why we're trying to get there. The MS of cheshbon doesn't put me into the picture. All the other cheshbonos, it's being thought of by the animal soul. But it's still the highest level of selflessness. It's the highest level of. Well, it's not. I want to be corrected to MS, because if like that was the inyan of, again, another inyan of the Akeda. The Avram knew that Shechting Yitzhak was not Ratzon Hashem, but he was prepared to do it anyway. It's a paradox. Hashem asked him to do it, but he knew he wasn't meant to do it. So if MS, this is an absurd thing to say, but if MS would mean that you would lose whatever. Negative would happen, you would do MS because it's MS. It doesn't work like that. But you understand? So it's a cheshbon, but it's
because
the ultimate cheshbon of the human.
You just don't realize that the bad is good. I don't know. If Avraham Avinu knew that it wasn't Ratzon Hashem, so you're saying it was his godly soul that had to be active?
There's a lot to discuss about that, and we should discuss it for a long time. But there's layers and layers and layers of Akedah Yitzhak that we can talk
just
about.
Just on a side, if you say Akedah Yitzhak is to protect your kids from anything danger happening to them, that's in a Kabbalistic
To protect your kids?
Yeah, protect your kids from anything happening to them.
Saying a kid is it's look in the morning?
Saying it.
Yeah. Oh, that's what, oh, okay, fine. But the actual, I mean, when you marvel at the question, you know, why didn't Avram turn around to Hashem and say, no way, I'm going to kill my kid? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Anyway, that's a whole
different discussion.
But it all ties in. But the point is, the cheshbon of MS is not about me. It's an infinitely different cheshbon than when we're talking about
Sarah and Oynesh.
But it's that. That's the point. It's the highest level of humanity. That's what we're trying to get our soul. Our soul is... Everyone realizes that you're serving God because you want to go to Olam Haba or you want to avoid Gehenna. That's very crass. It's very... It's the beginning, but let's work with it, yeah? Now, what about I want to feel close to God? Well, so maybe a little bit better, I'm not sure, but that's still like where... Oh, but the level of this is just true. That's... Do you realize that's the highest level of humanity? Is it... No, it's still that I'm... It's not the same way as...
Kiras
Hashem Lito. That's the second Madrega in the Mesir Sesharim. But the highest Madrega that he talks about in the Mesir Sesharim is this level of being Ovid for MS. It's not, again, this is we remember
when
we've got
the Sesharim talking about the animal soul.
No, Mesir Sesharim's got a different way of painting it. No, it doesn't have the animal soul, godly soul. It's different. Like the Ben Ish Chai has a different way of... You can paint it in other ways. There's like Kalim and Urus and all different ways of painting it. Yeah, but the point is that when your printer, I've given this example a bunch of times. Yeah, if your printer decides not to print something, you send it to print. You're like, that's a chutzpah. What are you talking about? You send press print, and on the screen it's like, no, thank you, I'm busy. Yeah. MS is your printer says, I belong to you. Do I feel like it? No. But I'm yours, so I'll do it. That's the highest level of the animal soul. That's really where we're trying to get to with the animal soul. You with me? So the animal soul can see that he is a part. He is a chelik of Hashem's reality. To say that the neshama is a chelik of Hashem, we say it's a chelik elokai mimal, but the neshama doesn't even have enough yesh to say that.
So we don't really, there's no avodah we do with our neshama. The avodah is with the animal soul.
That's the Tanya says that beferish. It says, ein tikkun la, the neshama lo tzrich tikkun. Your avodah here, meaning you're not here to fix your neshama bechel. Your neshama is the tool that you're using to fix your animal soul.
So how do you use your neshama that doesn't care about not emes, not nothing, to fix your animal soul?
The neshama is giving the animal soul a pnimius. Meaning your neshama can't do mitzvahs without the kalim of the animal soul. The neshama is too godly for it to be able to move your hands. Yeah? So the neshama itself can't put on tefillin because it can't move your hands. It's too abstract. So what does the neshama use to put on?
The animal soul.
It uses the animal soul. It becomes enclosed within the animal soul to then put on tefillin. So the more that we are running with the neshama, the neshama, not the nefesh, the more we're using the nefesh and the kis to motivate the nefesh of Bahamas, that's called being Makadish, the nefesh of Bahamas. And the nefesh of Bahamas, it's like walking into a nice smelling spice shop, he's getting more and more fragrant, he's getting more and more. So as you go up and you avoid his Hashem, your nefesh of Bahamas is starting to smell more and more delicious.
That's purifying your soul.
That's completely, exactly, that's the avoid.
But the levushim of Machshava Dibur Maisa, our neshama also has, our neshama lakis also has. So which are we using?
It gets complicated. If you want to try and piece it all together, it's complicated how the, because really the levusha, it doesn't really have its own levushim per se.
The neshama.
It does, we speak about it like that, but they're really...
It really co-ops, though.
Exactly, really, because the levushim are mamash in the goof. So that's why I say, so the Balatanya creates the whole picture as the two souls. But that's it's not that's not how that's a way of you, exactly. There's so many ways of breaking it down, right. Different ways of talking about it, not in that sense. But he makes
it's like
it very
the
easy.
Levushim of the neshama Elokis kind of co-opt the levushim of the nefesh behemoth. That's kind of
exactly. They become the levushim of the nefesh of the nefesh Elokis become melubish in the levushim of the nefesh Bahamis. That's how you would say it exactly. But then, so to call them levushim, it's already a bit of a stretch. But we do. But it's a complicated way that it all fits together. But that's really, it's the nefesh of the kis that is motivating the nefesh of Bahamas, which is motivating the body. And that's the elevation of the whole thing, and that's the avoider.
The worst is the levushim of the nefesh Bahamas without the input of the nefesh of the kis.
Well, then that means that the nefesh of the kis is in gullus. That's called the nefesh lakis, is not getting to express herself. The nefesh lakis, when the goof is eating a cheeseburger,
or even eating a burger that's kosher without kavana for Hashem, without any thoughts.
That's very different. It's
why is
very,
that
very different. It is, but it's very different. It's a very different thing. It's a galus lafi shah. It's,
okay,
it's,
but it's still a gullus at that
time. Yeah, well, that, yeah it, that's why I said when a guy is serving Hashem,
when a guy
is serving Hashem for Sahar and Oynesh, yeah, the neshama feels a little bit like schmutzig, like, but Bruch Hashem, I'm getting to express myself. Bruch Hashem, that's infinitely better than eating the cheeseburger. You know, the fact that you went to Meir Shalom and bought yourself a Eidach Reina's burger, Baruch Hashem. But that's not a mitzvah to eat Eidach Reina's burger. But to do the mitzvah for a person's putting on tefillin for Schar Olam Haba, and then Neshama is like, Baruch Hashem, I'm putting on tefillin. But,
I mean, there's a mitzvah to feed yourself. I mean, if you're doing
it's not a mitzvah.
Doing a mitzvah,
either way, however you want to when you touch it to a mitzvah.
Learn, like you said, you're not doing you put on your tefillin, you're putting on your antennas to get closer to God. It's like you take it to the next level. You're putting on film, everybody rushes to put on film, but if you put another thought into it, you know, so that you're getting closer to God. I can connect more to God now.
And if you and this is the madrakas of the Nefesh of Bahamas. The Nefesh of Bahamas could be saying, I'm putting on tefillin because I want this guy next to me to see that I'm a frum Jew. That's very bad. Yeah? Now the guy could be put for whatever, yeah? Or showing off his tefillin. Bought fancy rubbish of tefillin. Or he could be putting on tefillin, yeah, because he wants to get Sahar Olam Haba.
Yeah.
Yeah, the neshama still feel it. He could also be putting on tefillin because he wants to feel close to God. That's another madrega up, maybe, but that's not particularly selfless. Yeah, or he could be putting on tefillin because he wants to be making a yichud of kutcha brich or shchinta. Yeah, now I'm thinking about the bonus shrine. That's already bound up in the world of MS. I'm putting on tefillin because this is just true. I belong to God. I have a chiyuv of tefillin. Now the neshama is like, good, you shut up. It's not about you anymore. It's not about you having Sahar Olam Haba. It's not about you this, you that, yeah? Now
so
the
that's
really
all you have to get to.
What?
That's where you have to get to, Emmet.
That's the human
avoider.
I belong
to him, and this is what I
that's do. That's the human avoider, as opposed to I want to feel close, and I want meaning in my life, or I never had a real father figure, so I want
so
to feel,
no,
or I want to be the one who brings my father the slippers.
So this Jewish answer of kacha is not an answer we have to say.
That's just ma'elav. It's always like that. That's the neshama. It's
that's not
always
a word
like that.
We have to get to
so,
kacha. That's
you can't
like,
get there.
You can't get
there. But when when you silence the goof, yeah, then that kacha is the reason why you're serving Hashem. What's the silencing of the goof? Is MS, meaning it's not about me. It's about MS. This is just the right thing. I belong to God. So what about me? I don't feel like putting on tefillin. I would much rather not be putting on tefillin. In fact, I can't think of anything I'd rather not be doing right now than putting on tefillin. But I'm still putting on tefillin. And the neshama just goes, oh, Hashem, wow. Eventually, the goof starts to become accustomed to the tefillin, and he might even be into it and enjoying it, but it's not the... That's not the
problem?
Reason why you're doing
that's
it. No, it's not.
Problem.
That's no. That's
now the goof's getting some kind of...
Yeah, but that's just like
a,
that's
again.
Like a well-trained animal. It's just a well-trained animal now. It's not like selfish. It's just he's become accustomed to, he feels good when he puts on, he's not doing it for that reason. It's the difference between the guy who eats a bar of chocolate because it's on the side, on the table there, and the guy who gets in his car at 1 o'clock in the morning and drives 20 minutes to a gas station to buy a bar of chocolate. That is, and there's a world of difference there. Yeah, it's not so bad. There's a bar of chocolate there, yeah? And you eat the chocolate.
That's okay. That's why you only put in the earring when he says after 6 years he wants to stay. Because he heard the Shema, the O's and the Shema's don't steal, and he did that. That was like, you could just say he was dochak, he was a shas adchak, he had to steal. But that he had 7 years to hang out there, and now he's at a place, and now he's still saying, I want to do this.
It's become accustomed.
He's It's
very good. But that's the point, is it's not motivating you. Meaning, and that's where we should get to. The mind goof enjoys putting on tefillin. I love putting on tefillin, yeah? I don't have a struggle. I love davening shachris. I have a struggle when something gets in my way and I can't daven shachris properly. That just comes from practice, if you take it seriously. If you take shachris seriously. If you don't take shachris seriously, it will just be a gehenna for the rest of your life.
If something gets in your way and you have a problem...
Well, I'll do it.
Well,
I mean,
that's
I don't,
a problem.
No.
Because what are you doing?
Because that's the goof. Just that's the goof. Uh-huh. I'm not doing it for that. I mean, the goof is now like, oh, my daughter's not well. I don't want to go and sit with her. I want to go and daven. I'm still going to sit with her. I'll do that. But the goof has become accustomed, as opposed to eating cheeseburgers and watching Znus on the computer. Yeah, the goof also gets accustomed to that as well. But if you practice long enough, you put the energy into shachris, it takes a couple of years, yeah? But and Hashem usually throws you a bone at the beginning as well. When you start turning it into you're trying to train the goof, that's called chinuch. Chinuch is called training. That's what you're doing. You're trying to be mechanach the goof. So as you're involved in that avoider, the goof starts to actually like to put on tefillin, and he stops being an ikuv in any way. And then he starts getting up on time. And now you know, but you're not doing it for goofinistic reasons. You understand?
Why is Bina 40?
Why is Bina 40?
Yeah.
Not sure. Shkoich. I think we're sure.
Great cheers.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
good. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. Chazak very much.
I think.